The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
My next guest has directed a unique and thought-provoking documentary musical about Dublin's North Circular Road. The film, simply entitled North Circular, brings viewers on a journey through song and story from the gates of the Phoenix Park at one end all the way to the docks. Luke McManus, who wrote and directed the documentary and who also lives in Stony Batter, is with me in studio. Good morning and welcome.
Morning, Pat. Thanks for having me on.
You were reviewed in The Guardian this morning, a film made with real artistry. Did you write that yourself?
It's a bit too good to be true, yeah, that review.
It's a glowing review in the Guardian.
I know, and it's funny, I'd heard that it was coming on Tuesday. I'd been told this last Saturday, so it's been a sort of 72 hours of agony waiting for that one.
Will
to
it
drop.
Be good? Will it be bad? Well, it's brilliant, as it happens. Now, it is shot in black and white. Now, I grew up in the area, and all my memories are in colour.
Where did you grow up? In Fermoy Road?
In Fermoy Road, yeah.
So I've taken a kind of wider interpretation of the North Circular to include the park. So you're very familiar with that first bit of the road there. Why did I shoot it in black and white? Well, there's lots of reasons, but one of them was that I wanted it to evoke the past, but I wanted it to be contemporary in terms of the images we gathered needed to be contemporary, not archive. But I wanted to sort of get a sense of what the history of the road as it breathes through its contemporary life. So I always think walking a road is like reading a book or flicking through a magazine or something. You kind of see all these things. And also our phones are so full of colour and Instagram pinging all these images at us constantly, and they're always sunsets and glorious technicolour. And I thought this is slightly more austere kind of look at a road that was
about 85 minutes long. Right. And you have divided it into chapters. What are the chapters and why?
So we basically talk about neighbourhoods. So we start with a Phoenix Park chapter, then an O'Devany Gardens chapter, then a Stony Batter chapter, Grange Gorman, Phibsborough, Summerhill, and so forth, Croke Park, and then down to Sheriff Street. And I loved the idea of it just being a journey from along the road. And you know that thing where you're kind of walking down a street and you overhear a snatch of conversation and you think, I wonder what that person's life is like. And the idea of this film is that you kind of do a little detour into that person's life for 7 or 8 minutes and then you move on.
Yeah. The aspects of it, though, you know, I'm looking for the cattle market and the abattoir.
Yeah, the old and indeed where you grew up in Fermoy Road was the old hospital for the army. And that's what the infirmary was. And I remember standing by the ruins of the infectious disease hospital, which was obviously very pertinent because it was COVID times we were making the film. So, yeah, there is those kind of layers you can excavate. And funny enough, my great grandfather was a dealer in that cattle market in Hanlon's Corner. That's now the Drumalee local authority estate.
The cattle used to pass by our house, you know?
Right, yeah.
When the market was going. But, I mean, when they were sold to the butchers, they had a very short trip across the road to the abattoir where they met their end. Anyway, that really would be in the heart of the city today, and it couldn't happen anymore.
It's funny, isn't it, how rural central Dublin was until quite recently? Like that sense of a farmer could drive a cow from his farm to Stony Batter, and then they'd be driven down the North Circular to the docks. And anyone over a certain age, when I mentioned I was making this film, would always talk about the cows and that kind of procession of cows going all the way down. And it's in O'Casey's autobiography and it's in old films. And it was that thing of Ireland was a sort of rural place. And I think Eamon McComosh was like, Meath begins on the far side of the North Circular.
Yeah, well, when I was walking to school, primary school, there was Chicken Lane we passed through, which would be near where you live, I presume, in Stony Batter.
My office is on Chicken Lane.
On Chicken Lane, so there you are.
Yes, it is. Arbor Place, but Chicken Lane,
I want to give people a couple of tasters from the documentary. And this is the North Circular Road being described from just one person's perspective.
The North Circular Road has a darkness to it. From the Wellington Testimonial all the way along Phibsborough and down Summerhill through there. There's something quite tall and overwhelming about parts of it. It's a dark entity.
Well, I used to cycle along the dark entity on my way to O'Connell Schools every day. Didn't perceive it as such. What was his perspective, that man we just heard?
Gregory Dunn, a fascinating man, who's an Englishman who moved to Stony Batter in 1990 and has taken a series of amazing photographs of the community that were a huge influence on the film. He perceived this darkness, and I share that perception in that the institutions that line the road, and the reason I really wanted to make the film in the first place was that realization I had that these places like Grange Gorman Asylum, Mountjoy Prison, the Magdalen Laundry at Sean McDermott Street, the barracks, the workhouses, even the stadiums like Croke Park, which are, I mean, Croke Park is a famous murder scene from Bloody Sunday. They all carry these resonances of our history and our traumas, but they sort of maintain them in this weird ghostly fashion. So that's where I think the darkness comes from.
You have another, I think, it's probably a dark chapter as well. We have the voice of a squatter who moved into a house of a man who, in spite of community, had lain dead for quite some time.
The first time they didn't even find anything because there's just so much rubbish. You might look through the whole house and not notice. But it was only the second time that they went in that they found his body, and it had been there. No one knows how long it's been there, but at least a few months. This was a note that we found upstairs. It says, "Notice 2018. Please help me. Unable to get out for food and drink. Very ill. Can you help me?"
My goodness.
Yeah, it's a very sad story. And I think when I was making the film, I thought I was making a film about a road. And a chap called Kieran Aguera had the insight that he'd watched it and said it's about community and the power of community. And I realised then that he was right, that the story of the lonely man in Stony Batter is a very telling parable about what happens when you get isolated and when you get cut off and when you don't have a communion and a family and a community around you. And a lot of the things in the film are about how you can overcome trauma and overcome the darkness by reaching out to other people and connecting with them, be it at a football match, at a concert, singing a song with them, walking on the street in protest. And I think COVID probably put that into sharp relief, the fact that we were all isolated suddenly, that we realised what we were missing.
Now, it's not all unremitting gloom.
Certainly
not. Because you celebrate Kelly Harrington from Portland Row.
Right, absolutely, yeah. And I think that's a very important point to make, is that the film blends the darkness with humour, and there's a lot of music in it, but also that ultimately it's kind of a optimistic, uplifting film. And spending time with Jemmeton Levy, who's from Sheriff Street, and around the celebrations around Kelly Harrington's fight, with shots of Kelly's family and her friends and her community, it was a wonderful ending to the film that kind of makes you energised and proud. And it was actually a really extraordinary experience being there for that fight, because for two reasons. Firstly, there was still a COVID lockdown, so there was an element of lawlessness to the gathering to watch her fight. And in truth, an element of lawlessness is part of life in the North Inner City. I think we all realise that. There's a sort of anarchic quality to it. But the second was that everyone we met that day, without exception, said, "You're normally here when there's killings. You're normally here when there's shootings and murders with the cameras. And now you're here because of Kelly Harrington, and we're so proud." And it meant so much to them that suddenly lenses were being pointed at the community in this absolutely positive way. Yeah. And it felt like a real healing, a powerful healing moment for that community.
Yeah. You know, in Wizard of Oz, when Dorothy in Kansas is in black and white and then she reaches Oz and suddenly it's in colour. I half expected your movie to go into colour for Kelly Harrington. You know, all the tricolours and the celebrations and all the rest.
You know, it was in the conversation in my head at one stage, not for the fight, but for Jemmeton Levy's triumphant homecoming. I nearly thought of going to colour, but then I thought, no, it might be a bit too gimmicky. But yeah, no, I had that idea, and I lived with it for a couple of weeks before saying no.
Now, I described it as a musical documentary. There's lots of music in it. Now, what part does music play in the narrative?
Well, it was an idea that I had, which was to make it a documentary musical rather than a music documentary. So the film's not about music, but the music in the film tells the stories that are in the film. So, for example, you meet Willa White, this wonderful actor and comedian. He used to be a prisoner in Mountjoy. And as he's telling his story, you hear John Francis Flynn sing an extraordinary version of a Ewan McCall song called Lag Song about life in prison. And the two of them kind of meshed together. And that was something we, it was a bit of a gamble. I wasn't sure it was going to work, but we've managed to do it in the film. And I have to give credit to my editor, John Murphy, for being a huge kind of force in the film and making it work. But the idea is the story, the songs tell the stories, basically. And I think our traditional ballads, they've always been narrative. They've always been about history. You know, they've always been, it's a storytelling type of music, really, you know.
As some of the texts coming in, I lived on Animal Road until I was about four, then grew up in Phibsborough. I remember the cattle being driven through Phibsborough on foot and then ultimately on big trucks. The North Circular Road would be filthy and smelly afterwards.
Yeah.
The evocation of the cattle market. I lived in the north inner city. I have lived since 2000 near Stony Batter. Love it there. Never had any problems, even going through the older flats at O'Devney Gardens. Never were, was an issue for me. That's from Peter. Where is it to be seen?
So the film is being released this Friday, December the 2nd, in the Savoy, in IMC Dunleary, in the Lighthouse, in the IFI in Dublin, and in the QFT in Belfast. And then the following Friday, it opens in the Gate Multiplex in Cork and in the Palace in Galway. And it's also screening in the Bertha Dockhouse in London's Bloomsbury as well. Mm. So, and we're hoping to add some more screens as we go.
Now, the final thing is that the movie's about 85 minutes long. Which is right. A coincidence.
It is a massive coincidence, but I'm just so chuffed about this. A few weeks ago, I idly put into Google Maps, how long does it take to walk from the Wellington Testimonial, which most people call the Wellington Monument, but that's its official name, in the park down to the point via Phibsborough, and it's 84 minutes walk, and the film is 86 minutes. So it's like a real-time journey walking through Dublin.
Well, Luke McManus, director, creator of the North Circular Road, thank you very much for joining us in studio today and best of luck with the movie.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.